Well, I can't seem to talk about anything else right now except the truth. He's got me on this subject of truth. So turn with me again to John chapter 18, verse 38. Hopefully a quick review. And we're going to go a little farther tonight because a week or two ago, I just kept hearing over and over again that sentence in my mind, what is truth? And I knew that Pilate was the one that asked Jesus that during the interrogation, what is truth? And so when I looked the verse up, you know, I've been well taught by Pastor Dave, you don't look at a verse by itself, you back up. And even though I knew the general context, I wanted to back up and read a few verses ahead of it. And really, it was the verse above it that the Holy Spirit was trying to draw my attention to. So John 18:38 is where Pilate said unto him, what is truth? But back up into look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Now that's quite a statement. That I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You look up that word witness, and it's where we get our modern word martyr. But it did not, and when we think of martyr today, we think of someone who gave their life for their belief. But it has come to mean that. It did not mean that when Jesus used the word. At the time, the word used there for martyr simply meant a legal witness. You know, in a court, you can have not just anybody can come testify. It has to be a witness. It has to be somebody who was there, somebody who saw it, who has evidence to present. And that's the word that was used here. So Jesus is saying, I have come as a legal representative to present evidence, to bear witness to the truth. Now, Jesus himself gave us the definition for all eternity what truth is. John 17, Father, thy word is truth. This goes all the way back to Genesis. Now, again, I'm reviewing as quick as I can, but it's important because not everybody hears it. Plus, we need to get our mind going down this path again. So you go all the way back to Genesis. Well, God cannot lie. Everything that he says is absolute truth. So when he told Adam in the very beginning, you can eat the fruit of all these trees except that one. If you eat the fruit of that tree in the same day, you'll surely die. Is that truth? Absolutely. It's absolute truth. And, you know, we've even used a New Testament correlation from Matthew 4:4. You know, it is written, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Had Adam done that, we'd still be in the garden. You know, we'd still be in the garden because what God said is truth. Okay. But we, again, summarizing, the serpent comes and he directly opposes truth. He says, you will not surely die. He just flat out says, you will not surely die. And then he starts doing a con job on Eve about God. God's withholding from you. He's holding back the good stuff. He knows if you eat like this, you'll be like him. And God only knows what all was really involved in that. But Eve was deceived. And that's why really sin is not laid at her feet. The Bible doesn't lay sin to her. But it doesn't say Adam was deceived. And I remember the day when it finally hit me that when Eve, whatever it was, let's just say ate the fruit, took a bite, and it says she turned and gave to her husband with her. That opened up a ton of revelation. When I understood, he was right there. So, again, Eve was deceived. But Adam is watching her eat the fruit. Somebody is lying. Because God says if you eat the fruit of that the same day, you'll die. And the serpent says, you will not surely die. Somebody's lying. Isn't that right? So Adam becomes a judge unto himself. He's watching. He's right there. He saw Eve eat the fruit of the tree, whatever that is. And she's still standing there. Looks pretty. smells nice, probably. All of his five physical senses, he can touch her, smell her, talk to her, hear her. All of his five physical senses tell him, well, she didn't die. She's standing right there just as pretty as ever. And this is why sin is laid at Adam's account, because he made a calculated decision. And it's not worded exactly like this, but you can tell from what he did. I have to make a decision here. Who is telling the truth? I know what God said. I know what his word said. But all of my five physical senses tell me Satan told the truth. Because she's right there. She didn't die as far as I can tell. So at that moment, Adam became a judge unto himself. He rendered a verdict in favor of Satan. Satan tells the truth, and God is a liar. It's treason to the highest level, really. It really is. See, and that's why not trusting in God's, not believing and trusting and acting on God's word is the way out of the garden. And that's why faith in God's word is the only way back in. That's why the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Amen. Y'all remember what we were doing, okay? So I was real mad at Adam until the Holy Spirit showed me I do the same thing just about every day, probably every day, and I do it multiple times a day. And I could use other things, but since everybody's, you can tell when I walk all bent over because it hurts when I don't. See, I have God's word that plainly says, by his stripes, I want to put it my name in, Gary was healed. It doesn't say by his stripes everybody was healed but Gary. I have his word. But see, I also have my five physical senses. And they preach also, just like Satan preached. My back preaches to me, because when I stand up like this, without anything to hold on to, it's like you took a hot knife and put it right in my spine. It hurts. That's why I walk like this. When I walk like this, it doesn't hurt. But that is believing a lie. What is the truth? See, what is, Jesus said, I have come to bear witness, to present legal evidence of what the truth really is. So I'm going to equate myself, since I'm dealing with a back situation. Last week we talked about the woman who was bowed over for 18 years. Now she did have a spirit of infirmity. It wasn't just a physical problem. It plainly says she had a spirit of infirmity. But the end result, I mean, actually, if you go to Acts 10:38, everybody that Jesus healed was being oppressed by the devil one way or another. All of it is from the devil. No sickness is of God. You know, it's how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So one way or another, all of it is from the devil. Now, in that case, it was a spirit of infirmity, but here's a bowed-over person. I can, you know, I'm interested in her story. I'm a bowed-over person, not as bad as her. And I had you count last week, 18. It wasn't a year. It wasn't 5 years. It wasn't 10 years. It wasn't even 50. 18 years. When you've had something probably getting worse, over an 18-year period, you start to identify with it. This is just who you are. And I'm looking around the room, you know, many of us have different things. We have all kinds of things. Okay. That's just who we are, right? But see, that's not the truth. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. So now when I look at that story, now here's a lady that's been coming to synagogue. That'd be the equivalent today. She's a churchgoer. She loves the Lord. She's no doubt heard it read about her covenant of healing many times coming to that synagogue. Because they would read the scriptures. Well, you're going to read Isaiah, that by his stripes we were healed. You're going to read, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You're going to hear, I will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. You're going to hear it read, there was not one feeble one among them. You're going to hear it read, who forget not his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities and heals. So she had knowledge, 18 years at least, you know, coming to synagogue. She had knowledge. But she wasn't walking in truth. And sadly, the preachers where she was going wasn't walking in truth either. because she's still bowed over. And then I like to say, and then one day, one blessed, glorious day, truth walks in the door. He doesn't put up with that. He sees this daughter of Abraham. He walks over there, and I mean, in just no time, it makes them all mad because he did it on the Sabbath day. He didn't care. Goes right over there, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Remember what one of the keys of the kingdom? Whatever you bind is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose is loosed in heaven. Well, how about we just follow his example? This woman is being bound by Satan. I say you are loosed. The king has spoken, and she is loosed by the power of the Holy Ghost. That devil was probably in big trouble when he got back to hell. I reckon anyway. Well, he cast me out. I couldn't stay. Anyway, truth came in. See, Jesus said, I've come to bear witness of the truth. Now, I loved how Alan and Jim's messages flowed together, because it's not a matter of just flipping a switch. I wish it was. Oh, I'm gonna believe now. From this point on, flip. I'm just going to, yeah, that's it. If all things are possible to him that believes. So I'm just going to flip a switch. I didn't believe yesterday. I'm going to believe today. But here's what. So I'll use Gary. Okay, you can pick your own stuff. So I'm just going to walk and it's not going to hurt. Y'all saw me about 2 weeks ago. I had to sit on the step by the time we got to the end of the prayer line. It was either that or lay on the floor. The pain was just so bad. Okay. Jesus didn't say this kind goeth out. This kind of unbelief goeth out by flipping a switch. This kind goeth out by making a decision. Does he? This kind of unbelief. Unbelief is the mountain. Jesus believed and the devil was no problem. Okay? The mountain there is unbelief. But he didn't say that believing, you suddenly believe by flipping a switch. He said this kind, and has to be unbelief, this kind of unbelief comes out, goes out by prayer and by fasting. So, I'm being real careful because I'm right at the edge, to be honest with you, of what I know. And it's so a part of its theory. It's not really theory. It's the word of God. It's absolute truth. My understanding of it is imperfect. Okay. But we can't lower the bar. We have to stay with what Jesus gave us. So even though I'm a spy in the land at this point, I'm not walking in all of it. I'm not possessing all of it, but I have come to give a report of what I see. And tonight, let's do it like this, because here's the verses he gave me for tonight. That's our review. We are to be also, see, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Well, witnesses unto him is witnesses unto the truth. He's calling us to do exactly the same thing he did. We are to go and present evidence of the truth. Well, he is the truth. He is the Word with legs. He is the Word that's risen and seated at the right hand of God. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And he still does miracles today. But we're not supposed to just go preach it. We're to present evidence as witnesses the same way he did. Is that good stuff right there or what? So, let me find it here now. Made just a few references here. Go to Matthew 12 for a moment. Now we're into new ground from last week. See that when Jesus began preaching after he was baptized by John, Matthew 12, okay. What he would say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Luke 16:16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. We've talked about that many times. Because the baptism of John, when John laid him down in the water, for all practical purposes, that was the death of the first Adam, because Jesus is going to die on the cross in his place. But when he's resurrected, when he's raised up out of the water, that's Jesus' faith that God's going to raise him from the dead, and he's going to become the firstborn of a whole new species of human. Okay? It's called the sons of God, born again, born child of the living God, born of his spirit. So he's saying, since that moment when I was baptized by John and Jesus and the Father declared I'm his son, he might as well have said the first Adam is dead, long live the last Adam, because that's coronation day. And that's why the Holy Spirit came to anoint him with dominion. He is the last Adam. There's a lot in a few sentences. But anyway, you know, I've taught on that so many times, so we got to go beyond there. So Jesus is teaching from that point on a kingdom that we can't really see. It's not like the kingdom that they wanted. They wanted him to throw Rome out, take the literal kingship, and, you know, a temporal, natural kingdom. But what we're in right now is the kingdom of God, which really it is the manifestation of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And then the rest of that prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So when he walks into that woman bowed over for 18 years, he sees something that is not according to the will of his Father, which is in heaven. This is not the will of the Father. So the king has come to manifest the kingdom. The kingdom is available. Now, he does that other times. That's why we went to Matthew 12 here. One thing about these phones, if you would tarry too long, verse 13, they go blank on you. And we're going to have to back up a little bit. Verse 10, behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man. Now here, we got to set all that to get to this. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now, I don't have a picture, but I'm picturing in my mind a withered hand. I'm thinking he doesn't use it, so it's probably shriveled. The muscles have probably atrophied. So I'm thinking it's smaller probably than the other side. And it's withered, meaning he can't use it. And apparently he can't stretch it forth, you know. Now notice this, because we're going to look at two other witnesses here. See, in our world, in our world, I know I get a rebuke every time I say that. In this fallen world, not our world. Thank you, Lord. In this fallen world, there is a reality for that man that says, because you have a withered hand, you cannot stretch it forth. But see, that is not the truth. So Jesus actually tells the man to do something that to everything the man knows and to everything his senses are telling him is impossible for him to do. This is a Mount Carmel moment. If God's word is truth, as Jesus the Word made flesh, is God's word truth, or is the physical symptoms truth? Because the man, if you'd interviewed him, if we'd had news reporters and they'd interviewed him, can you stretch forth your hand? The answer would have been, no, I can't. Can't you see? It's withered. I can't. But truth comes in and says, stretch forth your hand. See, let's pause for a moment, because Alan touched on that, and I think Jim might have a little bit. There is sometimes, I think Alan mostly, he was talking about getting people out of wheelchairs and getting them to walk a little bit. And a lot of times, some people can't walk at all, but a lot of people in a wheelchair could walk for a few steps. And you've all seen that happen, where they get them up out of the wheelchair and you got two or three people kind of holding them and steadying them, and they'll take a little, because they're embarrassed not to. They got maybe cameras going and 100 people watching, you know. But then if you watch later, they'll be in that wheelchair when they leave the church because they did not really get healed. And we're not talking manipulation like that at all. No, we're talking the real thing. When real revival, when they're just like here, but see, Jesus needs something from that man. He needs that man to do the impossible. Now, again, it's been abused a lot. We are not going to abuse this, but we are going to walk in this. The man, again, I'm going to use Gary. It's exactly like saying, truth walks in the door and he sees me walking around like this, you know, he'd probably walk right over to me and say, stand up straight. You're going to stand up straight, you know. Now, the difference between where we've been and where we're going, when I stand up straight, that's the end of the pain. When he said, stretch forth thine hand, and against all natural reasonings, against all physical senses, against all of his history, I don't know if he was born that way or what or not, he was going to obey truth and was going to do the impossible. I can't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And only when he stretched it forward, he said, then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Let's look at another one. Let's get several witnesses on this. Go to Matthew 9. When did the Lord give this to you, Gary? About 5 minutes before I left the house. So, thank God. Okay. We'll start off in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Now, if I'm not mistaken, the other Gospels, isn't this the one where they broke up the tile on the roof and lowered this guy down? I'm pretty sure this is the same guy. So he couldn't even get to the meeting on his own. He can't walk. Somebody brought him. Okay? All right? So whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy. Now here it is. Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And the man said, I can't. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the modern version. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, and it's going to be the same way now, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And they're still going to glorify God when they see it. Now, here we go again. Here's a guy. I didn't have time to do any cross references, but I'm pretty sure this is the story where the friends brought the guy on some kind of a mat or stretcher or something. They couldn't get into the house because it was so crowded, so they went up on the roof and they broke up the tiles and they let this guy down somehow with ropes or something. Talk about faith. And I want to talk to the owner of the house, what he thought about that. But anyway, you're doing what to my house? But anyway. But the point is, the guy couldn't walk, much less carry whatever that thing is, his mat, his bed, whatever it is, and go home. Again, it's an impossible case. He said, well, I couldn't even get to the meeting on my own. But see, Jesus has come to bear witness of the truth. He has come to present evidence of what the truth really is. What has truth said to this covenant people? What did these people have a covenant? Now, remember that lady that said her daughter was vexed of a devil, and Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. Because she wasn't a Jew. She was of another country. But she had enough faith to say, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Great is thy faith, thy daughter is made whole, see, because she had faith beyond the covenant. But at this moment in history, only the Jews had a covenant of healing. But this guy is a Jew. What has God said? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I forgive all thine iniquities. I heal all thy diseases. I will bless thy bread. I will bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And I could give you a whole bunch more. Where God has said again, that is the truth. But what seems like truth, when you're living it, is the symptoms. And I'm the same way, okay? But God is bringing us now to walking in this unseen realm of truth that he calls the kingdom of God. He calls it that because it is. But it is where truth, the kingdom of God is where truth is manifested on planet Earth. That's a good sentence right there. The kingdom of God is where truth is manifested on planet Earth. The kingdom of God is at hand. If something is at hand, I can reach it. It's mine. You know, if the biscuits on the table are at hand, now if they're in the refrigerator, but if they're at hand, I'm going to get one. Because it's at hand. I can have it. That's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God, let me say it another way. The truth is available to you for the taking. Pass the biscuits, please. Pass the healing, please. Pass the deliverance, please. But it requires walking by faith and not by sight. We've said that so much it's become a cliche. What does that mean? Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Father, thy word is truth. Now the Bible says by two or three witnesses let every truth be established. So let's look at one more. Go to John chapter 5. Well, I'm having to be careful in these days not to preach just whatever I know or think I know. Say it a different way. I can't let Gary rise up and say things. Really. I just got to stay really close with the truth, the word. My opinion doesn't matter anyway. Yours doesn't either. Really doesn't. Everyone has a right to state their opinion, but it doesn't matter. You're not going to change the truth. Until your opinion lines up with the truth, it's not worth much anyway. Same with me. He is realigning our opinions. I believe we're going to start, yes, in verse 1. I hardly ever teach on this because it's about the pool of Siloam and all of that. Anyway, let's do this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude, now notice, of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now let me just stop. I don't know. Okay, let me read one more verse. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. I don't know much about that. I don't know much more in the Bible about this thing at all. I am just glad we don't have to do that today. We don't have to go to no pool, wait for no troubling of the water. Thank God Jesus has risen, and he is available to heal 24/7, 365 days a year. But so whatever was available for the healing then, again, whatever that was, something much better showed up. Just like truth walked in the door at that synagogue, truth has walked up to this man at the pool of Bethesda. So let's see what happens. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, holy cannoli, I mean, wow, 38 years. 38 years. I'm not going to have you count again, but 38 years. Now, if you've had something 38 years, I don't have any idea how old this fellow was, but that's probably half his life or more, two-thirds maybe of his life. Well, you identify with that, and you think, I'm just always going to be like this, you know. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" See, you don't know the number of times I've read this with knowing my own back situation and wondering if Jesus walked up to me, would he say to Gary, "Are you willing to be made whole? Do you want to be whole?" Anyway. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." Now, stop for a moment. What does that tell us? He can't even make it to the pool on his own. This guy can't walk. I don't know how far away he is from the pool. See, I've always thought if it was me, I'm laying on the brick on the edge of the pool. Trouble of the water, I'm rolling. I'm in there, you know. But anyway, the point for tonight, he can't make it to the pool without somebody helping him. So this guy's in bad shape is all I'm trying to say. He can't walk. He can't get there without, he's got to have help even to make it to the pool. "But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Now, notice this. First off, Jesus does not have the man get into the pool. That whatever that was, that's over now. No, Jesus, the truth, walks up and says, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now, don't get mad at me. I'm going to make fun a little bit. And the guy says, "I just told you." You want me to do what? Because this is the way we react, you know. Didn't I just tell you the reason I'm not already here healed? I can't get into the pool. And you're telling me, pick up my bed and walk? See, to the natural mind, it had to sound impossible. But Jesus is requiring this man to do something that in the natural makes no sense whatsoever. This is why the just must live by faith and not by sight. When truth says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," it's because you can. Got one amen. Glory to God. See, I'm preaching to Gary as much as anybody else. We have got to come to where we walk in this. Because it's not going to change for us. This is how the kingdom operates. And it goes all the way. I can understand it a little better because it goes all the way back to Genesis. Deciding what truth is based on your five physical senses is what got all of us out of the garden. And if we continue to make our decisions based on that, we're going to stay out of the garden. What I mean is out of the miraculous. But when we act on truth, what is truth? Here we go. What is truth? Father, thy word is truth. Well, truth is by his stripes, I was healed. Now it's time to do the impossible. And it's not a matter of, okay, again, I love how the message is blended this morning. It's not a matter of boldness, remember? I just got to be bold trust me, I have tried that 1,000 times, okay? And the pain put me right back to walking bent over. This kind of unbelief cometh not out. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. And there's Jim's message. All of the understanding, these mysteries, how Jesus could function like this, because he's functioning as a man, not as God. He's functioning as a man born of God's Spirit who was taught by the Holy Ghost how to do this. This, and he says, "The works that I do shall you do also if you believe on me." Right? So believing has everything to do with it, but believing is different than what we have thought. But at some point, again, Jim's message was the perfect follow-up. Well, how do I believe? How do I move this? Obviously, I have unbelief in me. How do I go from unbelieving to believing? This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting. And then Jim brought out all those scriptures on the mysteries and how the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, we're talking about manifesting the truth. The Spirit of truth, he says, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. I remember I'm seeing it again right now. I'm trying to close. I'm seeing in my mind, I got to go to Yeonju Cho's church on Yeouida Island in South Korea. And they have churches all day there, you know, about every hour and a half. Koreans are amazing. That's a massive building. I forget now how many thousands of people it holds. But they're able to get, if it's 10,000, they get 10,000 out and 10,000 in about 15 minutes. It's just an amazing thing to watch, you know. And they just have church services all day long. Well, when I was there, Yeonju Cho himself only did like one or two services in the morning. And then other people would do the services the rest of the day. I got to go about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it wasn't in English. It was in Korean. But I knew I'd be able to tell if the Spirit of God was there. And I was so blessed. I just feel so blessed that I got to go. Anyway, the Lord had me sit. I sat in one spot, and he had me move. He wanted me to move to another place. And I had to wait till the ushers leaves because they wouldn't let me. But anyway, I moved to this other place, and then I knew why later. From there, in the balcony, I had a really good view of the wheelchair section. And they probably had 20 people that they brought in there in wheelchairs. Now, Yeonju Cho is known for healings and miracles and all kinds of great things happening, and his disciples also that he's taught. But in that service, the Spirit of God was there. Even in the 3 o'clock in the afternoon when they gave the altar call, there were several people got saved. Hallelujah. It goes on all the time, you know. No telling how many people are going to be in heaven because that church exists. But the Lord kept telling me, and they prayed for every single one of those people in the wheelchairs. Ministers went down and went chair to chair and prayed for them. Not one of them in that service got out of the chair. They wheeled them out the same way they wheeled them in. And the only thing the Holy Spirit said to me, I heard it in Dave Roberson's voice, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I heard Gary, in Dave's voice, Gary, do not stop praying the mysteries. He's letting me know that is not his will, not his perfect will, that you bring in 20 wheelchair cases and wheel them out the same way. Do not stop praying the mysteries. So just say it with me. The Spirit of truth has come.
The Spirit of truth
is gone. He will guide me into all truth.
He will guide me into all truth.
Every time I allow him to teach me the mysteries.
Every time I allow him to teach me the mysteries.
By praying in the Holy Ghost.
By praying in the Holy Ghost.
He is revealing to me those things that I must know. To be an effective minister in the kingdom of God.
To be an effective minister in the kingdom of God.
I will do what Jesus said.
I will do what Jesus said.
I will spend time in prayer.
I will spend time in prayer.
I will spend time in fasting.
I will spend time in fasting.
And that mountain of unbelief will be cast into the sea.
That mountain of unbelief will be cast into the sea.
And I am a believer.
And I am a believer.
That means all things are possible. And I have received power.
I have received power.
By the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost.
To be a witness.
To be a witness.
Of the truth.
Of the truth.
I present evidence.
I present evidence.
To a lost world.
To a lost world.
To the truth of the kingdom of God.
To the truth of the kingdom of God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.